أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. صلوات. My respected elders, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Before I get on to the subject which I wish to deal with today, I'd like to put a seal to yesterday's subject. There's one thing which I feel I should have mentioned as a finishing point, and I remembered afterwards. Because what I spoke about, we spoke about the jihad and nafs. We looked at all these things and we gave the practical advice of dietary discipline in order to discipline the nafs. Now, you may have gone home today, for yesterday, and today you may have, every time you've gone to eat, you remember. And you may have felt despair in finding how difficult such a thing is. Because we did say yesterday that this thing may take years to master. But there's one verse in the Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. That those who strive in my way, Allah says, I will definitely guide them and help them. Now, why did I say definitely? If we read the English translation of the Holy Quran, and it goes also to assist that sister's question yesterday about reading the Quran in English, that in the Arabic, the English translation, will say that if you strive in my way, I will guide you. We will guide you on our path. This is what it will say in English. But if you understand the Arabic, Allah says, لَنَهْدِيَنَّ. Now, if Allah wanted to say, I will guide you, He would have said, أَهْدِيهِمْ. I will guide them. But He first puts a noon at the beginning. نَهْدِي. Na, which is for emphasis, Allah is saying, we. Then He says, the lam before the noon. Lam is for emphasis. لَنَهْدِي. And then He adds a noon shadda at the end. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ. That noon shadda again is emphasis from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is literally saying to you and me, if we were to write an English translation, another one, we would say, if you strive on my way, I would definitely, there is no two ways about it, guide you. So if we take this step towards disciplining ourselves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no way that we will not have assistance and guidance from Him. So this is for you and me a reassurance that we have Allah with us all the way as we move on this path. Now, another thing I wanted to mention before we move on is, you know, if we truly want to benefit, first me, myself, and then everybody else from these teachings, we have to reflect on them when we go away. A lot of the time we come to these majalis, you know, we're here, maybe we get inspired. We're sitting in the majlis and we're saying, yes, when I go home, I'm going to start acting on this. Or this is it, man. You know, when I go, I'm going to really make a move towards Allah. But the moment we get out into the car park, it's forgotten. You go home, even your mom or dad may even ask you, so, did you go to the lecture? Yes, I did. How was it? Oh, it was fantastic. Oh, what did he talk about? That's where the problem comes. You can't even remember what you heard. But you remember you were inspired and motivated. And you enjoyed the lecture. Simply because we do not reflect on what we have heard after we have heard it. So the key to absorbing, in order to implement what we hear and learn, is to reflect on it afterwards. This is another little hint for us all if we truly want to benefit from these teachings. And yesterday I mentioned, very briefly passing, that we have to have confidence. I mentioned confidence because I gave the example of the battlefield, why we call it jihad. And in the battlefield we have to be confident. If we are not confident, we will fail. So we have to be confident in this path as well, in this battle, the greater battle, to kill the inward dragon. Now, somebody asked me, you know, how do we be confident? You know, how is it that we can be confident? Well, I ask you this, all of us, you know, have studies, or jobs, or a profession where we go and work. Now, in this profession, we have to be confident. We have to have self-motivation. If we do not motivate ourselves and tell ourselves that we are good at what we do, we will not be successful. In the same way against this nafs, we have to motivate ourselves and reiterate certain things to ourselves like, yes, I can do it, I'm strong, I have Allah with me. I'm a follower of the Ahlul Bayt, I can do this. Every day we have to, sometimes every day, motivate ourselves. The same goes for this nafs. This is how we motivate ourselves and move along towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to instill confidence. Now, I just wanted to share with you a small anecdote, just to, you know, some of us sometimes feel despair when we see how difficult the path is. Some of us feel that we may not be able to endeavor on such a thing like this. So I just want to share with you a story of a scholar or a student who was called Sakaki. Now, Sakaki was really dumb. This guy was very dumb. He himself thought he was dumb and even others thought he was dumb. But he would try, you know. He was attending Arabic grammar classes. And in the olden days when they teach Arabic grammar, it would be like a memorization, you know. The teacher would say something and he'd ask you to repeat and you'd have to repeat what the teacher says. So one day the teacher said to the class, he says, I want you to memorize this line and come back tomorrow and I want to hear it from all of you tomorrow. So he says, this is the line I want you to memorize. Now when he's teaching this guy, he's also teaching ahkam of fiqh. So the line he wanted him to memorize was a line of ahkam. So he says, I want you to memorize this line. Qala shaykh, which means the shaykh said, Jildul kalb yutahhir bid-dabagha, that the skin of the dog becomes tahir with a process called dabagha. It's not important what it is. So this is the phrase I want you to memorize. So the next day the guy comes to the class, Sakaki. The guy's worked hard, man, all night. Comes back the next day. So the sheikh picks him up first. Sakaki, tell me. So he says, قال الكلب جلد الشيخ يطهر بالدباغة. Now the sheikh gets really, you can imagine. He says, get out, you're useless. You can't even memorize such a simple line. It means the dog said, the skin of the sheikh, you know. So he goes and he's, you can imagine how much in despair this guy is. He runs out into the forest, you know, telling himself that I can't do this, you know. But the thing is, he wants to succeed. He has that inner strength that he wants to succeed, no matter how, you know, weak he may seem outside. So he goes to the forest and he's sitting there in the forest, and now he sits by this place where there's a water dripping near these caves. And he sees that this water has been dripping on a rock. And it's been dripping for such a long time that there's a hole in the rock from the dripping of this water over time. Now he sees this and he says, if this water can make a hole in this rock, surely my heart is not as hard as this rock. And knowledge is not like, it's immaterial, surely it can penetrate my heart. And he went off and he took that example from nature and he became one of the best grammarians that we have. And he's written a big fat book on Arabic grammar, Sakaki. So just a quick example to show us that, look, you know, with this inner strength and motivation, we can do anything, especially with Allah on our side. Please recite the salawat. Now, yesterday, we've been talking so far about the spiritual warrior and what he has to do. But now it's important for us to see, okay, this is the spiritual warrior. It's tough, you know. But what fuels this kind of man? What fuels this kind of individual? Doesn't that occur to us? What makes this person want to endeavor onto this path? The answer is love, my brothers and sisters. Love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fuel, the driving force for anyone on this path. Now you may find this strange. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, that those who believe have an intense love for Allah. Allahu Akbar. If you just read this verse in Arabic, it's so beautiful and soothing. Ashaddu hubban lillah. So this is something, now we all have faith. You know, we all believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believe in the last day, believe in the book. But do we have this shadidul hub, this intense love for Allah? It's a question we have to ask ourselves. Well, today inshallah I want to look at this concept very briefly about this love. What is this love? But before we look at this concept, it's very important to see that love is something that cannot be rationalized. You know, we're going to look at this concept, but it's not something that can be actually described properly in words. And we see this beautifully explained in the poetry of Rumi. Yesterday I talked about Rumi, the Masnavi of Rumi, who has written beautiful poetry about Allah and this path towards Allah. Now Rumi mentions about love. He says, love cannot be contained within our speaking or listening. Love is an ocean whose depths cannot be plumbed. Would you try to count the drops of the sea? Before that ocean, i.e. the ocean of love, the seven seas are nothing. So Rumi is saying here that we cannot describe this. The ocean of love is so vast, even the seven seas that we have in the physical world cannot be compared to the ocean of love. Then he says, whatever you have heard or said is the shell. The kernel of love is a mystery that cannot be divulged or revealed. So whatever we talk about love, like we're going to talk about it today, is just a shell. The real essence, the kernel of this, is something that cannot be revealed in words. Then one last quotation from Rumi. He says, O you who have listened to the talk of love, behold love. What are words in the ears compared to vision with the eyes? Again he's saying that, oh, you who talk about love, he's talking to me as well here. He says, don't think it's just something you can hear. It's what are words that we hear compared to vision that we see? I may talk to you about a rose, and you've never seen a rose, but until I show you a rose, what a difference it makes. The same thing goes with this love. So we understand that this is something that has to be experienced, not just discussed. And if it is discussed, it's to stir the desire to attain this love within our hearts. So now we've understood this, now we can actually talk about this love, and we've understood that this is not the ultimate thing that we're talking about here with words. Now, when we look at love, if we want to put something like this into words and limit it to such a realm, we would say it's like a finding a desire or a tendency or an attraction towards something within which we find delight or comfort. But this is based always on knowledge. Okay? Now why do we say based on knowledge? Okay, when we look at attraction in the physical world, we have examples of gravity. We have examples of magnetism. Now, outwardly, this is not based on any kind of knowledge. The attraction between the iron filings or the attraction of ourselves to this earth. So we do not call it love, we call it gravity, we call it magnetism. Love is something which is always based on knowledge and understanding, on ma'rifah. And this is why we see that when we talk about our goal in this life is to know Allah, after knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we reach a level of love for Allah. Our level of knowledge for Allah is that way proportional to the amount of love we can have for Allah. The more we know Allah, the more we will love Him. And yesterday the question came up about the one who, an arif, who is an arif? The one who knows Allah. Now, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said here, that al-arif, shakhsuhu ma'al khalq, wa qalbuhu ma'allah. The an-arif, somebody who knows Allah truly, his personality, his being, his body is with the people, with creation. But his heart is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now as we talk about love here, just a side point, I want you to imagine those love relationships that you have experienced in your life. Because this is how we draw a parallel to understanding this love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'll come to that towards the end as well. So the arif, his body is with people. He is with the people outwardly, but his heart is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this man has a knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore he cannot allow his heart to be with anything else except Allah. Now in Islam, we have quite a few sayings about this. I just want to share two with you here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-qalbu haramullah. Fala taskunu haramullah ghayrullah. That the heart is the sanctuary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not allow, nothing else can actually enter the sanctuary of Allah or should enter the sanctuary of Allah except Allah. So the qalb is the property of Allah. Allah has made the heart in that way, that only one love can be there truly. Now when we talk about this love and the heart and all this, we're talking about, actually talking about obsession here. Infatuation. A lot of the time in our lives we find obsessions with certain things, or we find infatuations with other things. But we find after a while this fizzles out and goes away. And then we attach our hearts to something else. Because the heart is always seeking that true thing to be obsessed with, that true thing to be infatuated with, and that is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is saying that, look, that heart is my sanctuary. Nothing should really be there except me. Now this is a very, deep statement, and we can't just go away and make Allah in our heart immediately. But we're trying to understand this philosophy of this lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This love of Allah. Inshallah, tomorrow we will go into more practical things. But this is what one riwayah says about the heart. Another riwayah says, very deep riwayah, it's like a missile when it hits you. La yasa'ani ardi wa la sama'i, walakin yasa'ani qalbi abdi al-mu'min. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the heavens and the earth cannot contain me, but the heart of my believing servant can contain me. Now this is something very deep, and this is what yesterday we spoke about, man arafa nafsa faqad arafa rabba, the one who knows himself truly knows his Lord. And this is moving in that direction to see. So this arif, the one whose being is with the people but his heart is with Allah, is this person who has allowed only Allah to enter his heart, and Allah is contained within his heart. Now, just to relate this to an outward parallel here, again I bring you to the example of Hajj. When we speak about Hajj, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, the first piece of advice he gives for those who go for Hajj, he says, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ الْحَجِّ فَجَرِّدْ قَلْبَكَ مِنْ كُلِّ شَاغِلٍ. If you want to go for Hajj, he says, strip your heart of everything that preoccupies you except Allah. Again, this is what we see. We're supposed to do Hajj. This is what we're supposed to... Allah is trying to teach us that everything we do is moving in this direction of love and allowing Allah to enter our heart. When we go to Mecca, what do? We do tawaf around the Kaaba. What does that symbolize? That symbolizes circumambulating around you're revolving your life around this symbol which represents Allah, Tawheed. And we are told that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many houses. I mentioned this in the lecture on Hajj, but for the benefit of everybody, I'll mention it again. That Allah has many houses. One is the house in Mecca, the Kaaba. One is the house in the heavens called Baytul Ma'mur, where the angels do tawaf. One is Baytul Muqaddas in Jerusalem. The Arsh of Allah, the throne of Allah, is also known as Baytullah. But he says that the real Bayt, the true Bayt of Allah, is the Qalb of the Mu'min, the heart of the believer. So we have to sit back and think, is my heart near this or far from this? If it is far from this, I have to rectify this, because I am claimed to be one who believes in Allah, and therefore I should be ashaddu hubban lillah. I should have this intense love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, we're rationally looking at it, which is a very difficult thing. But just to bring the concept across. Now, in our riwayat and du'as, some of us, maybe we haven't come across these things, but if we truly look properly, the imams are always talking about this concept of love of Allah, of attaching themselves to Allah, of filling their hearts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. Now I just want to give you a few examples that we have in riwayat and our du'as. Now, one book which is a real treasure, I tell you, is called Misbah al-Sharia of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Now it's also translated into English. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. It's also translated into English, and we know it as the Lantern of the Path. Okay, and it's available by Ansarian Publications. So if you wanted to look for it in English, it's available. And the translation is very good as well. Now, in this Misbah al-Sharia, there's one section where he talks about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I just want to share with you what the Imam says about the love of Allah, so we truly understand what we're talking about here when we say the one who loves God and the love of God. He says, when love of Allah takes possession of the innermost being of Allah's servant, it empties him of every preoccupation except the remembrance of Allah. When love of Allah takes possession of this person, the lover is the most inwardly sincere of all people to Allah. He is the most truthful in his words, the most faithful in his pledge, the most astute in his actions, the purest in remembrance, the greatest in devoting himself in worship. The angels compete with each other to converse with him and boast of having seen him. Can you imagine? The angels boast of having seen the lover of Allah. Somebody who has that love of Allah. They boast. Through him, i.e. the lover of Allah, Allah gives to people when they ask him by his right. This is the status of somebody who loves Allah. And Allah loves him. If people knew how they stand with Allah, meaning if people knew how the lovers of Allah stand in Allah's eyes, they would not try to draw near to Allah except by the dust of this person's feet. If they actually knew how Allah sees this person, this is how they would try to draw close to Allah, by the dust of this person's feet. Then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam quotes Imam Ali alayhi salam. You know, Imam Ali alayhi salam is the Amir of all the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From his words you see. He says, Hubbullah narun. The love of Allah is a fire. Hubbullah narun la yamurru ala shay'in illa ihtarata. Oh, this is too good. He says, the love of Allah is a fire. And it doesn't pass across anything except that it burns it. So he says, when a lover of Allah, you in coming to contact with a lover of Allah, or you hear about the love of Allah, it's like a fire which blazes through and burns everything. This is the property of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he goes on to say other things. He says, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, when Allah loves a slave in my community, he casts love of him into the hearts of his friends, the spirits of the angels and the keepers of the throne. So everything loves this lover of Allah, not just Allah. The lover truly has an abundance of bliss and will be able to intercede for others on the Day of Judgment by Allah's permission. So this is the station of one who has this shadidul hub for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we look at the lives of our prophets, the lives of our imams, we have many examples about this. In the Holy Quran, for example, when you see when Musa went to the mountain, Allah asks Musa, مَا أَعْجَلَكَ عَنْ قَوْمِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What has made you run away from your people, O Musa, to me? He says, إِنِّي عَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَى. O Allah, I have rushed to you so that you may be pleased. Now, what Allah is asking in this is because Musa ran up the mountain to Allah. He ran up the mountain to Allah. He didn't just climb it slowly, because he knew he was going to spend a special period of time with his Lord. So he ran up the mountain. Ajiltu. It means I rushed. And Allah is like his lover, beloved, asking, teasing him, why did you make ajala? He says, Ajiltu ilayka rabbi litarda, so that you may be pleased with me. So this is a yearning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we see across the board with our prophets and imams that they all had. And it's something that Allah has described the believers to have, this intense love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also somewhere else in an interesting riwayah of the Holy Prophet, he says that mathalul mushtaq, the example of somebody who is a mushtaq, mushtaq is somebody who is yearning for Allah. Mathalul ghariq is like the one who is drowning. The one who is in a state where he is drowning. Now imagine this, picture this. لَيْسَ لَهُ هِمَّ إِلَّا خَلَاصُهُ. He hasn't, obviously, if you're drowning, there's nothing you care more about than saving yourself. So he's saying, the one who's drowning doesn't have any care except saving himself. وَقَدْ نَسِيَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ دُونَ And he's forgotten everything. You're going to be thinking about what you're supposed to cook tonight if you're drowning. Or what is your accounts at work, you know, if you're drowning. There's only one thing on your mind, is how you save yourself. So the Prophet has given the example of the one who yearns for Allah. He has no other concern, no other main driving force except Allah. There's nothing else that is at the forefront of his mind. This doesn't mean he's ignorant of everything going on around him. No. Now, I want you to draw the parallel again, as I said, of love relationships that you may have experienced in your life. Some of you may not be able to remember. But try and remember, you know. That love relationship, you cannot think about anything else except that person. You know, you can't eat, you can't sleep. Every time you talk to people, you're talking about that person. This is what it's like. It's the same thing, but this time it's for Allah. It's the same thing. Okay, now, that's from riwayat and hadith. Now, I just want to look at one example from dua. A couple of examples from dua, actually. In our du'as, I said, it is replete, actually, if we look carefully with this concept of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have here, in the munajat, again, we go to the 15 whispered prayers of Sahifat al-Sajjadiyah, where Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam has written, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, powerhouse masterpieces of conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says here in the munajat of the murideen, those who are the devotees of Allah, we say, فَأَنْتَ لَا غَيْرُكَ مُرَادِي وَلَكَ لَا لِسِوَاكَ سَحْرِي وَسُهَادِي We say, you are my object of, and no one else, we're saying to Allah. To you alone belongs my wakefulness and sleeplessness. وَلِقَاءُكَ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي Meeting you is the gladness of my eye. This is what I desire most, to meet you. وَوَصْلُكَ مُنَى نَفْسِي And joining you is the wish of my soul. وَإِلَيْكَ شَوْقِي And for you I yearn. وَفِي مَحَبَّتِكَ وَلَهِ And in love for you is my passionate longing. This is what we're saying to Allah when we read these du'as, man. Not just, you know, this is what we're saying. This is what our relationship with Allah, we are seeing here how our relationship with Allah should be idealistically. In Dua Kumail every Thursday night, we say, you know, oh Allah, make my heart beat with your love. حُبِّكَ مُتَيَّمَا وَقَلْبِ مُحُبِّكَ مُتَيَّمَا May my heart beat with your love, we're asking Allah every Thursday night. It's what we ask for. In the munajat of the muhibbin, there's a munajat in Sayyifat al-Sajjadiyah called the munajat of the muhibbin, where the first line begins with this, مَنْ ذَاقَ حَلَاوَةَ مُحَبَّتِكَ فَرَامَ مِنْكَ بَدَلَى That whoever has tasted the taste, sweet taste of your love, O Allah, how can they desire anything else in its place? So we see here there is something intense, this love. Now, as I said here, you know, intellectually, rationally, it's very difficult to understand this kind of love. The only way is by tasting it, by experiencing it. It's like this, if I sit here and try to describe to you the taste of honey, and none of you have ever tasted honey, you're thinking, okay, it's sweet, yeah, it's, you know, sticky, it's whatever. But until you taste the honey, is when you truly understand this concept. The same thing goes with this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, very, very interesting in love. All these concepts and feelings in this world and existence that we experience come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beautiful names. One of Allah's names is Al-Wadud. Al-Wadud is the loving one. The one who has affection. This is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names. He is affectionate to His creatures and loving to His creatures. And He is the only one worthy of love. True love. Al-Wadud. And in the Holy Quran we have two places where it's mentioned. We say in Surah Al-Buruj, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ And He is the ever-forgiving, the ever-loving. Now again, I bring the attention to Arabic here. You know when we say Allah is the forgiver. He's the forgiver, we say, don't we? Al-Ghafoor. Well, Al-Ghafoor doesn't just mean the forgiver, my brothers and sisters. Ghafoor in Arabic is Sigha Mubalagha, which means an abundance, an excess amount of something. So when we say Al-Ghafoor, it means Allah is forgiving too much forgiving. This is what it means. When we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahim, He has too much mercy, uncomprehendable. Not just the forgiver, the ultimate forgiver, if you like. Again in the Holy Quran it says, وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ إِنَّ رَبِّي رَحِيمٌ وَدُودٌ. Saying, ask forgiveness from your Lord and turn towards Him. Verily my Lord is a merciful one and is extremely loving. This is our Lord, and we forget this, you know. Our day-to-day life, we go to work, we go to school, we go to university, and we forget this about Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our sole source of everything we have, we are supposed to look at our life and see all the bounties, all the beautiful places Allah has shown to us, all the relationships that Allah has given us. But we forget. Allah says in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. O man, what has taken you away from your kind Lord? He doesn't just say, what has taken you away from your Lord? He says, ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. Your kind Lord. He's asking us to think how kind He's been to us. We are nothing without Allah. Ya ayyuhal insan, ya ayyuhal nas, antumul fuqara'u ilallah. Wallahu huwal ghaniyul hamid. Oh man, you are fuqara, absolute essence of poverty in front of Allah. And He is the absolute needless. And we forget Him. But yet, we say in the dua that, oh Allah, you are merciful and kind to those even who forget you. And we should remind ourselves of this. And this is why I'm talking about this love. And this is what, when we go and see what drove Imam Hussein alayhi salam on that day of Ashura. Now, when we talk about love also here, the philosophers have divided in love into metaphorical love and real love, true love. Metaphorical love is the human love that we have in our life. Love between your mother and your child and your wife and your spouse and your brothers and your sisters and your families and your friends. But the true love, ishqi haqiqi, is that divine pure love that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, it is said that love of the human being is the ladder leading to the love of the merciful. Without the wings of human love, we cannot fly to divine love. Which is why Allah has given us this experience of love in our daily life. You know, I ask you to think about the love you have for your mother, or the love the mother has for a child. You cannot describe this love. It is there in the heart. You cannot put it into words. And this is why Allah has given it to us, to show us that attachment to a nourisher and a nurturer, which is a mother. And He is a Rabb, the nurturer and the ultimate nourisher. So when we look at this, Allah says, I love my creatures more intensely than a mother loves, 70 times. So when we look at this relationship we have with a mother and the love you have for a mother, imagine this intensely magnified with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how we should be thinking. When we stand to pray, this is what we should be thinking. The same thing goes with your spouse. The love is a different kind of love, but it comes in a different way with Allah. The love you have for your child, it's a different kind of love. Your grandchild, it's a different kind of love, but all leading to that great, true, divine love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is when we start to become, you know, shadidul hubb, having that intense love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this becomes the driving force. Now, if you have love for Allah, if we have love for Allah, praying and fasting and doing extra ibadat and working on eating less and doing all these things becomes easy. Because we're doing it with that gear and motivation and that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please recite the salawat. Now, when we come and see Imam Ali alayhi salam, almost 25 years before the occurrence in Karbala, passed this land with his companions. And he called it the battlefield in which the Ushaq will become Shaheed. The Ushaq are those who have intimate attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are obsessed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's talking about those. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was the king of the Ushaq at Karbala. And all those who died with him were of the Ushaq. Those with intense obsession with Allah. And this is what enabled them to do what they did on that day. Can you imagine that situation? Can you imagine, would we really be able to do what they did? It was the love of Allah that they had that drove them to be able to do and give their life there on that day. Now, ishq allowed the Imam to bear all these difficulties. But Imam didn't just have this ishq on that day, this infatuation with Allah on that day. It was with him all the time. And a lot of the mystics draw attention to Dua al-Arafah that we read on the plains of Arafah at the time of Hajj, where we literally see who Imam Hussein alayhi salam is. With the way he talks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. He talks to Allah in a way which you cannot control yourself sometimes when you read these words. He says, "You are the one who has granted me everything. When I was in the womb," I mentioned this on the first day, "when I was in the womb, when I was in the cradle, you gave me somebody to nurture me. You have been there, Allah, my brain, my nerves, my everything," he mentions. "Which do I thank you for first, O Allah," he says. "I cannot count." He talks to Allah as if you are now relating everything that has happened to you from the beginning of your birth till now. And it comes flushing back when you read this dua. So we see Imam Hussein alayhi salam was obsessed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all the time from then. And it manifested itself fully on that day of Ashura and the lead up to Ashura. You know, when we talk about this kind of love, we have poetry. You know, we have Romeo and Juliet, we have Layla and Majnun, we have Farhad and Shireen and Khusro and Shireen and all these examples of true love and sacrifice and all this. But these are but a drop when we look at the ocean of Ashura and the love that was displayed on that day. This is how we should look at Ashura. Manifestation of love. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was selfless. The self-sacrifice. He gave up everything. All he had to go through. Everything. Until he had nothing. And not just giving it up. He saw it happen in front of him. And he was there at everybody as they fell. And then after that he gave himself. And his head, the most sacred part of our body, he gave. And then, not only that, knowing that after he goes, his women and his children will be taken prisoners. But all this he was able to do because of his ishq for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where I'd like to just end by reminding us, and just bring you to one poem of Jalaluddin Rumi, just to end, to see how he explains this kind of love when it takes over an individual. He says, "The joy and heartache of lovers is he." Joy, because when you see the beautiful manifestation of Allah, it brings joy. And it's heartache because you are separated from Allah. What do we say in Dua Kumail? "Allah, even if you were to chuck me in the hell fire, and say I hypothesize, oh Allah, I was able to bear it. Oh Allah, how could I bear separation from you?" This is what we say. So it is a heartache as well for the lovers. "The wages and the salary for service is he." The lover doesn't seek the pleasure of, you know, we have different levels of worship. Those who seek worship Allah for paradise, it is not a bad thing. Those who worship Allah out of fear of going to hell, it's not a bad thing. But those who worship Allah for Allah, because He deserves it, this is the ultimate. So their wage and salary is Allah. "If they were to gaze on another other than the beloved, if their hearts were to be directed to other than Allah, how could that be love? That would be idle fancy. Love is that flame which when it blazes up, burns away all except the everlasting beloved. It slays ma siwa Allah, other than Allah." In Arabic it means, it slays other than Allah with the sword of la ilah, no God. It slays other than Allah with the sword of la ilah. "Look carefully," he says, "after la ilah, what remains? There remains illallah, except Allah. The rest has gone." So this love we're talking about here, my brothers and sisters, is actually making la ilaha illallah living and activating it within ourselves. La ilah, removing all other than Allah, illallah, except Allah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We will now welcome questions from sisters and brothers. May I start with the sisters? Any questions? Over to the brothers.
Assalamu alaikum. You mentioned about the love, that Allah loves immensely the human beings, yeah? And you again compared here about Shirin of Farhar, Leila Majnun, and whatever. Now you mentioned that Imam Hussein gave everything for the love. Now Allah also loves Imam Hussein. So why is it that Imam Hussein, he allows Imam Hussein to sacrifice so much if he loves him? If you compare here with Shirin of Farhad, if Farhad was there, could see Shirin sacrifice so much, he would have gone to help, yeah? So why are you saying that? That this, why are you comparing love in such a way? I can't understand that.
Okay. Inshallah, I will actually talk about this as we move along in the following nights. So if you can wait. If you can wait, actually, I plan to talk about this in the following night, so inshallah, we'll come to this discussion. I'm sorry? Well, this should give you encouragement to come.
Sisters, there's a mic here. Back to the brothers.
Yes, bismillah.
Now you mentioned several times intense love for Allah.
Yes.
Now can you give us some examples?
Right.
What the prophets or the imams have said, how you can bring this intense love. What do we do? What do we have to do? Or what steps do we take?
This is what I was going to talk about tomorrow. SubhanAllah. I did mention actually in the beginning that today we're talking about the conceptual aspect of this love of Allah and looking at it on a theoretical level and just seeing what is there in the riwayat. And tomorrow, inshallah, we will move into the practical ways of how we can start developing this intense love, inshallah. Sorry to be brushing everybody off like this, but...
Back to the sisters. Any questions? Sarat?
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And my brothers and sisters, I would like us to take ourselves now to the caravan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam as they are riding through the desert, tired, after being diverted from many places, they are being driven. And the narrator says that Hussein mounted his horse and they were moving through the desert. In every direction he wished to take, he was prevented from going in that direction. And sometimes the army of Hur would be behind him until they reached a land called Karbala. And this was the second day of Muharram. And when he reached Karbala, he asked, "What is the name of this land?" And it was said to him, "Karbala." قال الراوي ثم إن الحسين عليه السلام قام وركب وصار وكلما أراد المسير يمنعونه تارة ويسايرونه أخرى حتى بلغ كربلاء وكان ذلك في اليوم الثاني من المحرم فلما وصلها قال ما اسم هذه الأرض فقيل كربلاء. And when the Imam heard this, he said, "O Allah, verily I seek refuge in you from affliction and calamity." Then he said, "This is the place of affliction and calamity. Get down," he asked everybody. "And this is where, by Allah, the place of where we will stop. And this is the place where our blood will be shed. And this is the place where our graves will be kept. And this is the place where we will reach our final abode. And my holy grandfather had told me about this. So all of you get down. And this is when Hur also get down and his army stayed there in the corner. فَقَالَ أَللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْكَرْبِ وَالْبَلَىٰ ثُمَّ قَالَ هَذَا مَوْضِعُ كَرْبٍ وَبَلَاءٍ أَنْزِلُوا هَا هُنَا وَاللَّهِ مَحَطُّ رِحَالِنَا وَمَسْفَكُ دِمَائِنَا وَهَا هُنَا مَحَلُّ قُبُورِنَا وَهَا هُنَا وَاللَّهِ مَحَلُّ سَبِي حَرِيمِنَا بِهَذَا حَدَّثَنِي جَدِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ فَنَزَلُوا جَمِيعًا وَنَزَلَ الْحُرُّ وَأَصْحَابُهُ. And then Imam Hussein alayhi salam sat there and unsheathed his sword and started to clean his sword and spoke some words to himself about this fleeting time and how time grabs its people and how he is now close to his death. And the Rawi says, the narrator says that Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam heard this. And she said, oh my brother, these words are coming from you about your certain death. He said, yes, oh my sister. And Zainab said, oh my God, this is Hussein telling us about his death. And then the women began to cry. And they began to slap their cheeks and tear their cloth in some way. And Umm Kulthum cried out, oh Muhammad, my grandfather. Oh Ali, my father. Oh my mother. Oh my brother. Oh Hussein. Oh Hassan. Oh, what will happen to us after you, O Abu Abdullah? قال الراوي فسمعت فسمعت زينب بنت فاطمة عليها السلام ذلك فقالت يا أخي هذا كلام من أيقن بالقتل فقال عليه السلام نعم يا أختا فقالت زينب واثك لا ينعى الحسين عليه السلام نفسه قال وبكى النسوة ولطمنا الخدود وشفقنا الجيوب وجعلت أم كلثوم تنادي ومحمدا وعليا وأما وأخا وحسينا وحسنا وضيئته بعدك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.